glorious to all. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm looking forward to it. I really want to get to heaven and see what it's like. See the Lord. And see all the saints. You know what the word tells us we're going to be like? There'll be no need for cosmetic surgery. We're going to be like him. Isn't that a glorious thing to think of? Yeah. Glorious Lord. Now our subject today has to do with prayer. The power of prayer. Now we at Rockville Bible Fellowship believe in prayer. So I am not telling you to pray, but rather to encourage us in our prayer life. Now before we look at our subject proper, let's do a little introduction to the subject. 2 Corinthians, or better, 1 Timothy chapter 1. By way of introduction, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. We're in a war. Chapter 6. Verse 12. Chapter 6. Verse 12. Fight the good fight. We are in a warfare. Point number 2. What weapons do we use? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are in a warfare. What weapons do we use? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are in a warfare, but we don't use physical weapons. We don't use bullets and guns and, you know, but we don't use, what do we use in this warfare? Ephesians chapter 6. In a warfare, we don't use physical weapons. What weapons do we use? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. And these weapons are classified under two headings. Defensive weapons, the things that defend us, and offensive weapons, the things that we use against the enemy. We know this well, but let's read it together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Now there are 5 protective, defensive items that we use in our warfare. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now, stand therefore, having your loins with truth. Your loins girded with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. These protect us. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet must be protected. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield protects us from the darts of the enemy. Helmet of salvation that protects your head. And oh, may I say to you, especially those of you in school, keep the helmet on. Let your head be protected. Don't let that nonsense that they teach you in school penetrate your head. Evolution. I remember the first year I went to medical school. Before I left, there was a young fellow my age in the community. Oh, and he preached the gospel. I used to go up to him and say, how do you manage to do it? I wish I had your courage. He preached the gospel. I went away to school for a year and came back and I saw him. I said, oh, let me go and hear this man. And here he had a red, black, and green flag in one hand and a bunch of papers in the other. Back to Africa. He took the helmet off and filled his head with nonsense. Oh, child of God, those of you in school, keep that helmet on. Salvation is of the Lord. Regardless of what they tell you, regardless of who the professor is, keep that helmet on. Now, those are the five things that protect us. Now, there are two left that we use against the enemy. Verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we fight with. That's what we use against the enemy. You remember when the Lord was on the Mount of Temptation? Satan offered certain things. Each time Satan offered him something, he said, it is written. That's what we defend ourselves with. That's what we use against the enemy. Not what I think, how I feel, how it seems to me. We're not trying to outwit the next fellow. Give him the word. And that will do it. And then the next item, the one that we want to speak of today, verse 18, praying always. The power of prayer. Our subject for today. And we want to look at certain individuals and see how the power of prayer operated in their lives. Genesis chapter 24. We know all of these scriptures well. This is just by way of review. The power of prayer. Genesis chapter 24. Verse 1. Abraham was old, well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant. By the way, the word servant occurs in this chapter 15 times. The word master occurs 22 times. Now when you get home, work on that. There's a reason for those things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that rule over all he had, put I pray thee thy hand under my thigh, I will make thee swear by Jehovah, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son, but the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. The servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me. Must thy needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son. If the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt declare from this mine oath. Only bring not my son thither, Verse 9, servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. He rose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening sacrifice, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, the servant, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show thy kindness unto my master Abraham. Notice the prayer. Verse 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink. Let the same be also he that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed me kindness. That was his prayer. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but this thrills me. You know, when you go to school, you have to read certain books, certain novels, certain romances. The greatest romances and the greatest thrillers are right in this book. We've got it all in this book. Did you know that? Read on. It came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, of Nabal, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. She went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. She said, drink, my lord, and she hastened. She let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water also for thy camels until they have done drinking. She hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran again to the well to draw water, drew water for the camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. Whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous. The power of prayer. Read the rest of the chapter. In the third. The power of prayer. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Verse 8. Then came Amalek.
Oh, that old enemy, Amalek.
And fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill and with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held his hand up, Israel prevailed. When his hand went down, Amalek prevailed. So what did they do? Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat upon thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. While Moses' hands were lifted up, Israel prevailed. But when through weakness they failed, Amalek prevailed. The power of prayer. The power of prayer.
Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Verse 12. Then spake Joshua to Jehovah in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Achor. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day.
The power of prayer. One man asked the Lord to stop the sun. Isn't that amazing? And he stopped the sun and the moon. The power of prayer.
Oh, this next one. You know, the sisters have a wonderful place in the service of the Lord. They are not the ones to go out on the mountains shouting, shouting, shouting. But their work is in quiet. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So effective. Verse 5. Unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But Jehovah had shut up her womb. Hannah was without child. Verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord, wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Why'd she want a man child? Her partner teaches her because she had no children. Now why did she want a man? Wouldn't a girl have done? No. A girl would not have done. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 1. Now there was a certain man, a phrase named Zophim, of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, the son of Jehonathan. Amen. Elkanah. She asked for a son. Why? A daughter wouldn't do. A son. Why a son? Now, you know, beloved, sometimes you probably wonder, as you read the Word of God and you read, for example, in Chronicles, so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so, so, why all these names? We had a brother in New York who used to say, those names you should read, they teach you, number one, patience. Number two, if your name was there, you'd want your name read. Wouldn't you? And when you turn to 1 Chronicles and read the list there, you know what you find out? Elkanah was a Levite. That's why Hannah wanted a son. Things in the temple and in the house of God were in bad condition. And as we read in chapter 1, she said, a son and I will give him to the Lord, that he may be in the house of the Lord, to clear up the wrongdoing in the house of the Lord. What wrongdoing was there? Chapter 1, verse 9.
Eli the priest, the last sentence, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Eli was sitting. Who told him to sit? When the tabernacle was built and laid at the temple, there were no seats. Where did Eli get his seat? When God gave instructions for the tabernacle, He stated what each person, piece of furniture was to be like. The measurements, there were no seats. And here's Eli sitting. He was out of order. He was out of order. Hebrews. Chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Things had fallen to a great depth in the house of the Lord. The priest is sitting. He had no right to see, to sit. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 11. Every priest standeth daily ministry. Why did the priest stand daily? Offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. That's why the sin question hadn't been asked. Now turn with me to chapter 1. Verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of God's glory, oh my, 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 the express image of His person, exactly like God, upholding all things by the word of His power. Notice the next phrase, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. That's why Eli shouldn't have been sitting. That's why the priest didn't sit. The work of salvation had not been taken care of. Our Lord, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. Incidentally, check it when you go home. Purged our sins. This is the only reference in the whole Bible to purgatory. Check it when you go. This is purgatory. When He made purgation for our sins. Not a place where you go to make up for your sins and that sort of nonsense. This is purgatory. Where the Lord made purgation, purification for our sins, and then He sat down. Eli was out of order because he sat when the sin question had not been answered. Let's look a little further in 1 Samuel. About Samuel. She asked for a man child. The Lord gave her a man child. Verse 22. Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and abide there forever. He was a Levite. That's why he could go into the house of the Lord. Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord established His word, so the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 27. For this child I prayed, the power of prayer, The Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I have dedicated him. I have lent it him, loaned him. I have presented him to the Lord.
That's why she wanted the son. And as you read further the story of Samuel, God used him to straighten out the wrong things in the house of the Lord. The power of prayer. She wanted a son specifically so that he could take care of things. By the way, this is just in passing. Eli, out of order. In the first place, he was a usurper. He wasn't supposed to be in the position that he held. He was of the sons of Ithamar. Only the sons of Eleazar belonged in the priesthood. Interestingly enough, study this when you go home. The first time we see Eli, he's sitting down, right? The next time you see him, he's lying down. And the last time you see him, he falls down. Check it when you go home. Thrilling studies. Well, the Bible is a fascinating book. Did you know that? I have to be careful. I wouldn't say you have fun, but you can have real joy with this book. But let's go a little further. Let's go a little further. Oh, yes, King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2. Chapter 3, pardon. Verse 5. The power of prayer. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Solomon said, thou hast showed thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness. Uprightness apart with thee, thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? The speech pleased Jehovah that Solomon had asked this. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, but hast asked for thyself understanding. Behold, verse 12, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any like thee after thee. Solomon was given wisdom. I'll just mention it. It's right in this scene, starting at verse 16. You know the story. Two women each gave birth to a child. One child died. Both women claimed the living child. How would we solve that problem today? How would we decide who is the mother of that child? Oh, we seek a little blood from the mother number one, from mother number two, from child number one, from child number two. Do some profound laboratory tests. DNA, you know, you've heard that word. Get the answer in 1 to 10 or 20 days. That's how we do it today. Solomon didn't have DNA, did he? But he got the right answer right away. The wisdom that God gave. Young people, you're in school. You want to succeed? Keep God before you. He'll give you the wisdom that you need for the Word of God and for school. When you go home, read Daniel chapter 1. Daniel and his three friends decided to honor God
final examination. How do they come out? 1, 2, 3, and 4. As I say, this sort of thing thrills me. It makes me feel real good. I believe I've told you about a young lady. She was in the School of Nursing in New York City. Assembly Fellowship. And she came to my wife and me with tears in her eyes. Oh, they're after me. They tease me. You don't do this. You don't go here. Oh, they gave her a hard time. She said, I think I'm going to quit. I said, you don't quit. God put you there. Stay there. We're going to pray for you and pray with you. Graduation day came. Oh, she got that far. Beloved, I'm telling you not what I heard, what I witnessed. Graduation day, 14 prizes were given out. This young lady won 13. Now that's true. The power of prayer. I must hurry along. I'm going to skip some. Luke chapter 23. The power of prayer. Luke chapter 23. We know this well. Verse 39. One of the malefactors which were hung railed on the Lord, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. The other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. Acts chapter 12. This is the last one that I shall call attention to. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he took him in prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. Notice the next expression. But prayer was made without ceasing by the church for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. Isn't that beautiful? He's arrested. I wonder how I'd behave if I were arrested. I guess I'd be pacing the floor. Peter fell asleep. Trusting in the Lord. You read on. Behold, verse 7. The angel of the Lord came upon him, A light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise, quickly." His chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." So he did, and he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Verse 11. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a certainty that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and doing what?
Praying.
As Peter knocked at the door, a damsel came named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, "Thou art mad. You don't know what you're talking about." She constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Summary. The angel fetched Peter out of prison. Right? Prayer fetched the angel from heaven. How do you like that? The power of prayer. I think that's enough. Number 466, verses 1, 3, and 6.